This is CliffCentral.com.
All righty. CliffCentral.com, the 21st of May of 2019. Almost June. Almost. Can you believe that?
Yeah. It's my birthday in June.
Good Lord.
Goodness me.
A few messages that have come through in the last little bit. This is from Michelle. She says, my father was the 300th recipient of a new heart in 1993. Jeez. Granted, he was a bit dodgy, but he lived for many years after he had his transplant.
Everyone deserves a new heart. Come now.
Yeah, sure. Well, if everyone deserved a new heart, then what would be the point of the old heart? All right, so this is interesting. You know, there's a story over the weekend about that guy in Stellenbosch in the Virgin Active gym, and he's been banned for life.
Because he was?
Masturbating furiously.
I don't understand.
Why do you find it funny? Because most people are outraged.
It's the 14-year-old in me, yeah, you know.
And it was the 14-year-old in him.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, the buzz around this Virgin Active masturbator is far from over. Virgin Active said the man who appeared in the video seemingly masturbating in full view of other gym goers is now facing criminal charges. Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Really?
Criminal? Who got hurt?
So firstly, he's been banned for life,
yeah,
from these gyms.
Yeah.
He's now facing criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
The video's gone viral. Everyone has seen it.
You see, this is where it starts to – the stupid politics start to creep in. So Carla White from Virgin Active said – in order to make the space safe, I mean, what you need to do to make the space safe is to stop those big gorilla oaks from dropping their weights on other people's feet. That's how you make the place safe. You know, some weedy little masturbator is not going to ruin the place for anyone else. Anyway, any action like this man attempted in our club will come with severe consequences, including legal action. But this got us thinking, right? Was this public masturbation perhaps some kind of exhibitionism? So the only person who knows about this stuff is John T. Searle. He's the sex expert, and we rely on John T. here. He's the host of Sex Talk to help us understand these things. John T., you know the story, right? You've read the story?
Yeah, I've seen the video.
Oh, you've seen the video. Did it make you horny?
Yeah. No, it didn't.
So, John T., tell us, like, what's going on here? What's up with this kid? Is he normal? Okay. Is this very draconian, the reaction to him? Was anyone put in an awkward situation here? Should we be taking this more seriously, less seriously? Tell us.
Well, firstly, it's May is considered Masturbation Month, so to be just a little bit flippant, he was kind of really fulfilling the precepts of May. He just wasn't doing it in a very healthy way. But okay. So he's more voyeuristic than exhibitionist.
Okay.
Because he's getting off on watching the woman that he's watching and filming her.
All right.
So it's more about voyeurism.
Okay.
And it looks like something in his wiring just kind of went totally wrong because he has no awareness of his surroundings.
Yeah.
You know, he's not looking around. He's not looking if anyone's watching him.
Right.
He's
more than just the one guy with the phone out that was watching him, or one girl with the phone out. So a lot of people were aware of him, and he was completely unaware of them.
Yeah. So something in him was is not wired correctly. And what you said there, Gareth, was absolutely right, that it's a political reaction from Virgin Active more than anything else.
Mm.
It's like they have to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah.
And fair chance the guy probably needs some kind of treatment more than anything criminal.
Yeah, instead everyone's like piling on this poor kid. So tell me, what do you think is the right way to deal with this? Because you say he needs treatment. Like, what would you do if this guy's parents came to you and said, hey, listen, our kid needs some help? What would you say?
Well, you need to put it in a context. So the first thing is, you know, you need to look at, is this something that he does regularly? And if he does it regularly and he does it in this way, then there definitely is a lack of understanding that he has of what's appropriate and what's not. does it make the space unsafe? In a way, simply because of what we've come to expect from the space, that if people were doing this all over the gym, then a lot less people would go to the gym.
I don't know, maybe more.
Well, maybe a lot more people would go, and we could have a special Virgin Active for the warriors and the exhibitionists, you know?
All right, so
which would be a bit absurd.
All right, so you're saying it isn't a safe space, but it maybe could be made safer, and this kind of thing doesn't help. But what would you tell this kid? Let's say he's done this once. Let's say this is the first time he's done it. He got caught on camera. It's all very embarrassing. Mm. He's going to pay the price in ways that go far beyond any criminal charge, because for the rest of his life, as I mentioned yesterday, he's going to be known as the Virgin Active Masturbator, which is bad enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, one of my favorite series is Californication, and the one agent who's caught masturbating in his office, and that just follows him all through his career. So it will be a part of his life. And then he needs to be educated to understand the appropriateness of this behavior and the appropriateness of sexuality. And, you know, part of it is the bigger picture is that a lot of men, unfortunately, today are not really taught about the appropriateness of sexuality and the appropriateness of sexual response and when it's okay to do this and when it's not.
What is that as a result of? Why were men better at this before?
Well, before I think there was much greater control, self-control, and there was much more education. You know, the whole Me Too movement has brought a lot of the stuff to the surface, where men were doing a whole lot of things that were totally unacceptable and inappropriate for so long and got away with it. And it might have been happening before. Not might have, it definitely was. But the advent of cameras and phones and things has brought many more of these incidences to the surface.
Do you think...
So It's always been there.
Do you think there's some part of this that has to do with male role models being absent in society? Do you think that young men are not taught to behave appropriately, or perhaps they're taught to behave inappropriately by bad male role models?
Definitely. And there's a lot of young men get their modeling from porn.
Yeah.
And that's almost like the opening of a traditional porn scene in the gym.
Yeah.
Here's this guy touching himself, and this woman comes over and says, "Oh, can I help you?" or something like that. And it becomes a traditional porn scene.
You need some help with that.
So, you know, one of the big things at the moment is that the first exposure to porn for a lot of people is from about age 11.
Sure.
And that's because of the cell phones. So that becomes a huge part of the modeling. So he definitely needs to be sat down and to be asked, what was going on in his mind at the time. Mm. What was there? What was missing? What triggered this?
Mm.
John T, what are the things we need to know about exhibitionism and voyeurism? How do they work, and what is it that triggers either of those? And are they compatible? I mean, what are exhibitionists looking for, and what are voyeurs looking for?
So voyeurs are looking to watch, and exhibitionists are looking to show, essentially. And I think we all have a little bit of the voyeuristic in us, to some extent. It might not always be sexual, but we kind of love the uncovering of secrets as a generalization. So I don't know that anybody really knows the actual root of it, but we find watching sex or watching nudity exciting to some extent. Most people don't act on it, and that makes the difference.
Yeah.
Unless you're in, like if you're at a sex club, for example, there are voyeur rooms where people will go and have sex to be watched, and there will be people to watch.
Right.
And that's a very definite environment. But we all love that in some extent. And the difference is that we might look at it and we might not act on it. And if somebody acts on it compulsively over time where they have no control over it, that's where it starts to become a problem. That's kind of the key.
Are men more likely to be exhibitionists than women, or are women more likely to be voyeurs than men? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, definitely more men. I think that women do have quite a high voyeuristic aspect, but it's never really been that acknowledged. It's always been more men, you know, the peeping Tom, the old-fashioned image of the guy with the raincoat flashing himself. And it's much more men than women. But for a lot of women, it's quite high on the fantasy list of being watched, either being nude or being watched having sex or pleasuring themselves. And I think it's just never been fully acknowledged in women as much as it has been in men, because men have always been the ones who have overstepped the boundary of that.
Jonty, speaking about the appropriateness of the action, I'm trying to think of different scenarios. So there are two scenarios I come up with. Number one, are there any nudist gyms that you know of? Does that sort of thing exist? And secondly, in a nudist situation, so I'm thinking of one that I do know of, like a nudist beach, would public masturbation be acceptable in that scenario?
Well, it kind of depends on the nature of the beach. So, for example, in Sandy Bay in Cape Town, there was actually an informal committee established, which said, because a lot of people were doing naughties on the beach, men, women, couples. And what they established was this informal committee of people who went to the beach to kind of police it during the day, because there's a lot of families there in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I witnessed it myself. There was a man in a bush, and he was doing the act with himself while we were frolicking around on the beach, some of us clothed, including myself. But it made me wonder, is that actually allowed?
So these guys had established this informal group to kind of watch this and say, you know, when the families leave at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, then it becomes quite different. So some beaches will have an area that might be more sexual, which might be like way down the sand from where the families are. Because in a nudist environment, a nudist environment is not a sexual environment.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing. And it's important to acknowledge that. You know, this guy didn't expose himself. That's why he's not an exhibitionist, because the exhibitionism is about exposing yourself to someone.
Okay.
So what about when...
If he pulled his shorts...
If he pulled his shorts...
Yeah.
Go on.
Now, if he pulled his shorts down or he'd taken his penis out, then it would be exhibitionism.
Right.
This is more the voyeuristic side.
All right, so Elmo just reminded me. Elmo sent me an email at cliffcentral.com, and he says, remember when George Michael was caught masturbating in a toilet? Is that the same sort of thing, and is there something similar going on?
Yeah, well, that was more exhibitionism
than
the voyeurism. And he was in a place where he was more likely to be seen and might have even been looking for some kind of engagement.
Right.
Because in that environment, he would have been looking for some kind of engagement. This guy certainly was not. I mean, he was totally lost in his own world. He's not even looking around to see if anybody's looking at him.
All right, well, that's... That's some interesting...
You know, it's not such a simple answer.
Yeah.
And we need to look at it in context.
Some interesting insights there. I suppose people are just... There are a lot of people in the world who are not conscious of their own behavior and are not aware of whether or not they're doing appropriate or inappropriate things. And I suppose that's varies from an individual to another individual, right? And these are not things that are general across societies and where everybody conforms to the same standard.
No, they're not, because you go to any gym and there are a lot of attractive men and women there who are very kind of skimpily dressed. And a lot of us will look at these people and they'll say, you know, that's beautiful, that's sexy, and get on with what it is that we're doing there.
Yeah, you won't start playing with yourself like this kid did.
No. So something is wrong with him, and I think some kind of treatment is much more appropriate than anything legal. But as you said, Gareth, it's absolutely right. It's more a kind of political response, because they have to be seen to be doing something and then they feel good about themselves. And the word that you used is the key to this, is consciousness and awareness. And so few people, unfortunately, are sexually conscious as well.
Jonty, thanks so much. Nice to talk to you as always. Jonty Searle is the host of Sex Talk on cliffcentral.com. And there's actually a new And a few new episodes of that that have come out recently, which I think you might find very interesting. Go and find it all on cliffcentral.com.
Hmm.
All right. Couple of other interesting things going on. I saw that Busisiwe Mkhwebane, the public prosecutor, the public protector, is in trouble again. Apparently, she protected Musbenzi Zwane by deliberately telling investigators not to include him in the report. And today, the court has overturned her report for protecting Zwane in the Frieda Dairy Farm situation. So, this Busisiwe Mkhwebane, her days are numbered.
Yeah.
She's obviously a bad egg and needs to be removed at some point. She's
dairy farm eggs.
All right, loads of stories in the news that we need to talk about. We're also going to speak to Dr. Robin Spring just now. She's a listener of ours who's got some interesting insights into this whole Caster Semenya situation, which is an ongoing controversy in South Africa. And we thought we'd speak to a gynecologist, an obstetrician, about what exactly is biologically going on. Because there's so much rumor and, you know, and noise and politically correct talk and politically incorrect talk. And actually, we should just listen to the doctors.
Yeah, there's misinformation, misunderstanding. Mm. We're not educated in these fields. It's very difficult to understand. Maybe the doctor could also explain this to us, and it links to an update on Mel B. Remember yesterday we said she was rushed to hospital screaming in agony and she had lost sight in her one eye.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it turns out it was a herpes infection which caused it.
In her eye. Mel B has herpes in her eye. Yes. We were just... See, I calmed down. We were talking about how she had these group sex situations, and Sia was saying,
yes, yeah,
she used to have like swinger parties with the
nanny.
So she's got herpes in the eye.
Mel B.
Yeah. So,
oh my God, we've got herpes in the eyes.
That is some Kama Sutra mess. How do you get the herp in your eye?
Just rub your genitals in my eyes.
Well, this is where I'm hoping the good doctor can help us, because I don't know how eye herpes works. I mean, but if you think about it, you get cold sores on your lips, which is herpes.
Yeah.
And you can use the same cream to treat genital herpes. So it's all kind of connected, hey? Mm. But the problem with dear old Mel B is that her left eye, okay, so the herpes has struck the right eye.
Wow.
The left eye was permanently damaged following a laser eye surgery gone wrong in the 90s. So we did mention that there was laser eye surgery that had gone wrong, but that's the left eye. The herpes hit the right eye, and that's why she was like, oh, my God, I'm completely blind.
Oh, shame.
Wow. Anyway, her vision has returned, and she has reportedly left the hospital and returned to rehearsals for the upcoming Spice Girls tour. So she's definitely doing fine. She's not blind. This has happened before, and with the
to
herpes.
Whom? To her?
To her.
In the eye before or somewhere else?
Well, that's the thing. It never goes away, these viruses.
Oh. That's how it recurs, as like a cold sore. Right.
I mean, I have one of my rescue cats, all my cats are rescues, but, routinely once a year, she gets an eye infection, and it's from
the herp.
Yeah. From when she was born. That's how it happens. Apparently it's nothing major.
Wow. How do we know this?
It's an everyday healing process that I'm going through, but yeah, I fundamentally do really love myself, and I like myself most importantly now.
But to go so public, why did you want to do that? What do you hope?
What about my eye infection?
Get out of this, and people reading the book will get out of this.
Well, I think for me, I kind of had no choice, because there were so many salacious headlines about me out there. And, you know, for 2 years, I've kept very, very silent. And I just think if I can help one person that's in a similar situation to what I've been in, then job well done.
That she's talking about the herp right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well,
exciting stuff.
You, what an exciting life.
Well, yeah. she says in an Instagram post of her nails being done, yippee, thank you, getting glam, ready for Spice Girls dress run, showtime ladies.
Well, like you said, they might have to put garden fencing up in the front of the stage just so she doesn't fall over the edge.
Now, I'm still bothered by how we know this. Maybe this is part of the stigma, but why tell us about this? Can we draw a line on, yes, you want to impact and change the world, and rather just...
She seems to share a lot. Like, she just tells everybody.
Because, Sia, it makes you feel better one day when you have herpes of the eye. You can say, well, Mel B had it, and everyone said it was totally normal.
Yeah.
Look, I remember we had the Selena Gomez situation, and we were talking about that. Yeah. But I don't know about the herb. Okay. Well,
I mean, I don't feel so bad now about the syphilis of my toe. No. Oh,
Jesus. I hoped you wouldn't bring that up.
But no.
I wonder what that smell was.
All right. You have. Here's just some more on some health issues and stories. This is quite sad, but 9/11 happened 18 years ago. And there was a fund that was set up for some of the first responders who went in to help out the situation. It was a September 11th victim compensation fund set up at that time. And billions of dollars have been invested into this fund that have gone out to help tens of thousands of people. But this fund is set to run dry in 2020. But it seems it's about to run dry at a time when many victims need it most. It's so sad to actually discuss this, but it seems that there's been a spike in brain cancer cases.
Oh, wow. Around since the incident.
People who were cleaning up
the
site.
The first responders. Mm. And now it seems they're just stuck between a rock and a hard place, between the fund is running dry, which was intended to help all of these people. Right. But over the past 18 years, yes, people have been helped, but it seems only now are these brain cancers emerging and manifesting. And now people are just starting to deal with it. There's a lawyer who represents the fund says that at least 15,000 people suffering from 15,000 people suffering from 9/11 related illnesses. 85 of them are stricken with cases of brain cancer. That is far more aggressive than national average.
My God.
So it really is quite scary to look at this. And That's awful. You know, the people who are heading up the fund are going, well, we don't really know what to do. And I think the fund has also been supporting these first responders and saying, you don't have to go back to work. We'll look after you. We'll look after your family. So this is how a lot of the funds have been used up.
Mm.
But when you count down the clock, they're saying it's not financially viable that it will last forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
So it really is quite scary. That means that the life expectancy of people with 9/11 related brain cancers is nearly 80% shorter than those with non 9/11 related brain cancers.
Mm.
It seems that people who were first responders will, the average, probably live up to 56 years old with this type of brain cancer.
God, that's horrible.
Isn't it just?
Well, there are other stories around here that are probably interesting to you. Apparently there's a video going around of a baboon. A couple of baboons.
Two baboons.
Are they attacking humans?
No. They're just having a swim in a pool. Someone's pool in their garden in Mpumalanga.
It's just so fun to watch this video. These baboons are having the time of their lives. So the homeowner was pretty surprised by this. It was the first time he'd seen it. He was sitting in his office doing some work at home, and he lives right near Nelspruit. And he looked out the window and saw these baboons playing in the pool. But again, what fascinates us so much with primates is how close they are to humans. And what I loved about this video was that, you know, usually when you see an animal in water, they do a doggy paddle type stroke. These oaks are doing proper breaststroke.
Yeah, and they're jumping. Like, you know how kids jump into the pool and go, wee, and they jump in and their feet first, and then sometimes they dive in and they do like a somersault.
Giving each other frights, pushing each other off the edge.
These baboons are having the best time ever.
Oh, man, I just love it.
So this thing's gone viral. A lot of people are
and of course, at least this time, you know, with the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing recently, all the tweets from the US were saying, oh my God, he's been attacked in Africa. And people were like, oh my gosh, Africa's not a country. It's South Africa.
Well, I was
at least this time they got it right, where they're saying at a home in South Africa, these baboons were pictured.
Well, I was seeing some tweets of people saying, we're so glad they're saying Africa in general so that South Africa isn't called out.
Right. Blame the Kenyans or the Nigerians. Yeah, sure.
Just say Africa. Blanket general statement is fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently, some all black rugby player allegedly pinched some woman's bum and then spat beer at a group of women in a bar here in South Africa?
Oh.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about this from Ben because he probably knows more about this person's character. But what we've seen from the headlines is that his name's Richie Mwanga. He's an all black star. The allegations came less than 48 hours after members of the Crusaders were accused by other locals and also a different rugby player, George Bridge, of threatening and homophobic behavior following their 19 all draw to the Stormers on Saturday night. So it's now been alleged that a week earlier on the 11th of May at the Arcade Bar in Cape Town, that was the night after the Crusaders smashed the Bulls in Pretoria, that the back-to-back Super Rugby champions were embroiled in another off-field incident.
Yeah.
Both bodies are jointly reviewing allegations about player behavior while on tour in South Africa. That's New Zealand Rugby and the Crusaders. Hmm. But all these, apparently this Mongo guy spat beer in the direction of a group of women. There was just really, really bad behavior. Then grabbing of bums, walking away.
South African, between South African gyms and bars, it's just, it's hell out there. It's really tough.
Well, this one we can blame squarely on the New Zealanders.
So listen to this. This is a bunch of comedians on the Buzzcocks, which is a TV show in Britain. They're talking about a whole lot of things. And then suddenly, a story comes up about South Africa. Listen to this.
I was in South Africa about 2 months ago doing gigs out there in a gay nightclub in Cape Town.
Oh.
And I'm chatting to a whole lot of lads at the end of the bar. And I'm pretty funny, I think. And one of them's gone, "You're wasted, aren't you?" And I went, "Yep." And he goes, "Do you want to come to the toilet with me?" Now, I think he's offering me a line of coke.
Well, that was...
So I go in there first, beckon him in. Then he comes out, he pulls out this great big cock. And he goes, "Do you want some coke first?" And I went, "I only want coke."
Yes.
Well, the problem is the South African accent. Coke and cock are very similar.
All right, so there's another fun South African story.
Brilliant.
We've got so much good going on in the news, we may as well capitalize, right?
Oh, my word. Well, it's mayhem in townships around South Africa as well. There's some crazy crime stories coming out. I mean, firstly, in an informal settlement in Western Cape, three people have been arrested after a man's body was found hidden under a bed. I mean, who does that?
You.
But this is my favorite. There was mayhem at a tavern in Limpopo.
Yeah, always is it Limpopo. Yeah.
Early hours of Sunday.
Sure.
Ooh, after a long night in Makosha village in Giani.
Yeah.
A tavern was looted. Cars were torched. Two brothers were shot by the owner.
Wow.
It was like... It
sounds like the Wild West.
I mean, can you imagine being an investigator pitching up on the scene?
It's like that... the movie From Dusk Till Dawn at that bar in the middle of Mexico called the Titty Twister.
Yes.
People shooting guns in the air and setting cars on fire and vampires flying out.
That's exactly what it was like.
Oh my God.
And it was a police officer who was arrested after this shooting involving two brothers, leaving one dead, one critically injured. Then the local community mobilized and stormed the tavern, looting liquor and valuables and then set the building alight. They torched four vehicles belonging to the family of the policeman.
Sounds like this place is totally out of control.
Crazy.
All right. Well, I've got Dr. Robin Spring on the line. And you know, it's a day after the fact, but the Caster Semenya ruling obviously has lots of people talking. As we spoke to the South African Society of Psychiatrists spokesperson the other day, Dr. Anusha Lachman, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We were contacted by one of our listeners, who's Dr. Robin Spring. She wanted to unpack some of the of what the ruling means and the thought behind it, and something that's been confusing many of us. So I thought, you know what? Yeah, obviously, here's someone who's smarter than me who understands this stuff. So, Dr. Spring, good morning, and thank you for talking to us this morning. You've also been a listener of ours for a long time, so thanks for that.
Sure. Morning, Gareth.
All right. So you're a gynecologist and obstetrician, right? So
something like that.
You deal with that area. And a lot of people are talking about this Caster Semenya thing like it is completely unrelated to biology, that it is all a purely political situation. And I'm happy to be corrected if I've had bad ideas or if other people have been putting rubbish in the media. What is your understanding of this situation? Because there's a lot of reaction, and, you know, people are also confused about what kinds of biological truths underpin the gender and sexual, the kind of
the makeup.
Yeah, but also the way people exhibit themselves as being either male or female. And a lot of people are confused in respect to, you know, the Caster Semenya situation. They say that she has abnormal testosterone levels. What does that mean?
Well, as I mentioned in my email, it really is a whole lot of complication, and it's really difficult to understand, even for someone like myself who does have some insight into the whole matter. Mm-hmm. And at the core of this whole discussion comes a little issue that I'm really, I suppose, upset about, and that is patient confidentiality. And at the end of the day, none of us know, and none of us actually have the right to know, what Caster's actual diagnosis is. We don't know. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, the IAAF and the CAS ruling has actually kind of revealed some of that. So we know that she has X and Y chromosomes. But beyond that, we know very little about her medical condition. And I think at that point, we almost have to disengage and say, well, yeah, leave this to the scientists. And the scientists are still trying to figure it all out. So what we do know is that she has X and Y chromosome, and that makes her what we describe as genotypically male. So that means that she's got the same chromosomes as probably you, Gareth, probably you, Sia. Mm. She does not share the same chromosomes as myself and Leanne. And somewhere in her embryonic development, when she was in utero, in her mother's uterus, something happened, either with the production of testosterone or with her testosterone receptors, which means that when she was born, her body had defaulted to female, because when we develop embryologically, our default is female. Mm-hmm. And when she was born, she was identified as a little girl. She had a vagina. She looked like a girl. She was a little girl. And as she developed, she would have developed as a young woman, and she would have grown up as a woman. And she is a daughter. Mm-hmm. She's a sister. Mm-hmm. She's a wife. And that is what she is known as. And that is all she knew. Arguably, when she was a teenager and sort of hitting puberty, her period may not have begun. And at that point, her parents may or may not have presented her to the medical fraternity. I'm not sure. And at that point, potentially some investigations may have been done. But yeah, I mean, she broke onto the scene when she was 18 years old. And yeah, a young South African woman breaks onto this international scene to this furore of like, hang on, is she a girl, is she a boy? You need gender testing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she even really knew what they were talking about or even had any understanding of the questions that were coming up around her.
That's certainly the impression I get when you see her reaction to all of this. And she's quite surprised, and I think a lot of other people are surprised too. How often does this happen where a woman grows up thinking that they are genotypically a woman as well, but it turns out they actually have Y chromosomes? How rare is this?
It is very rare. I mean, in my career, and I've been a gynecologist for 14 years in private practice now, I have yet to identify a case within my practice. Huh. I certainly have seen patients in the academic units I've worked in, but it's not entirely very common.
And what is the effect of having an X and a Y chromosome in a woman's body?
again, not an easy answer to give because it really depends where the deficiency comes in. Is it to do with the production of your testosterone or is it to do with your testosterone receptor? So for a lot of women, well, women who have an X and a Y chromosome, they will, as I say, for all intents and purposes, appear female. Mm-hmm. They will have, some of them will go through secondary sexual development with regards to developing breasts and pubic hair and all and getting hippie. And in fact, a lot of XY women are known to be extremely attractive women. And the only real thing that doesn't happen is that they don't have menstruation.
Okay.
Hormonally, they probably do have more testosterone than the average woman because some of them won't have functional ovaries. Mm-hmm. Some of them will have a gonad that is actually a testicle that is where the ovaries would be. But at this stage, yeah, that's, we don't know what she has.
And does this allow them to have children if women have an X and a Y chromosome?
Generally not, because they generally do not have a uterus, mm-hmm. and their gonads, be they testes or be they abnormal ovaries, they don't generally produce normal oocytes.
But typical female external genitalia?
Yes.
Wow. So this is really actually terrifically confusing. And what advantage or disadvantage would this have for her as an athlete?
That's the whole thing. We just don't know. We really don't know. The studies are saying it probably gives her somewhere between a 1% and a 5% advantage in her performance. But at the end of the day, we all have to bear in mind that she's still not the fastest 800-meter athlete in the world, female athlete in the world. There's still women who have run faster than her. So as good as she is, it hasn't made her better than the best.
Right. So, okay, biology, this is fascinating to me because I was reading a story just earlier to Leanne and Sia about a transgender man who obviously was born a woman who went to hospital and was complaining of stomach cramps and pain. And the hospital
didn't tell them that he might be pregnant.
Yeah, but he also didn't tell them that he was a woman at birth because in his mind he identifies as being a man. Yeah. Now, obviously there's a lot of political nonsense around this. But
there is.
When someone comes into your hospital or they come to see you as a doctor and they don't tell you that – that they're transgender and they present themselves as a man for all intents and purposes.
Mm.
You don't assume that it's necessary to look for a uterus, do you?
No, you really don't.
So they put themselves in danger when they do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not just that case is obviously very, very pertinent, but it's with any medical condition. If you go to the doctor and don't tell them, oh, by the way, I had a appendix removal or I had a gallbladder removal or by the way, I've got tuberculosis, and you don't tell them that. It doesn't help your doctor at all.
Mm. So it's better to just tell them the absolute factual biological truth without
And
this doesn't involve the separation of gender and sex, because if it does, then the only one that's relevant on a medical form is your sex. It's no one cares what your gender is on a medical form.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So they mix the two up, right?
Yeah. Indeed.
Well, You also feel that Cost has been treated badly by the IAAF.
I do. I remember that woman 10 years ago bursting onto the scene and running this amazing race and running herself into this heap of controversy. And I think the mere fact that this whole discussion has played out in the public discourse is atrocious. I think this is what's upset me more than anything else almost. Because what's going to be right or wrong in the end, I'm really not sure. But I do know what's wrong is that exposing her to the public scrutiny, having this play out in the press, and having every opinion maker sitting on their couch have an opinion and throw tomatoes at the screen when she comes on is really not helpful to her.
Sure. Okay, well, listen, you've helped me understand quite a lot about the genes here. I didn't even realize that there were XY women. Apparently it's something called Swyer's syndrome.
Yeah, there are a whole lot of different syndromes. There are a lot.
Well, it's interesting. Thank you,
and
doctor.
And there are also XX men.
Are there?
There are.
And what's the situation there? Do they present externally as being men and then internally they have women's
chromosomes?
Really?
Yeah.
And what's the effect of that on them?
Fortunately, again, it's probably even more rare than the castus menia situation. And they will also probably have very poor pubertal development, and they may be infertile. Yeah, but there are lots of variations on it as well.
And again, these are very rare conditions. They very Absolutely. Seldom come up. So it's not as if
very
it's,
seldom.
It's something that needs to preoccupy us for you know,
no.
endless hours of trying to figure out how to kind of put these, integrate these people into the normal
exactly.
Medical situations that we might require special information on. Okay, got you. Thanks, Doc.
Cool. Good Pleasure.
To talk to you. All right, there we go. There. Interesting, huh? Mm. How's that, Leanne? Dr. Robin Spring.
So complicated. Yeah. It just brings up a whole lot of questions and, yeah, how women want to be treated as equal in every other sphere of their lives. Yet in sport, it's an absolute given that men and women should compete differently and separately.
Well, that's just because usually if you allow men to compete with women in physical categories like weightlifting and hammer throwing,
running, they'll win.
Men will beat women, and then there just won't be women's sport.
Yeah. And then you think of all the concessions that have been made for Special Olympics, and you think, is there a category for this where people have crossover genes?
Yeah. Well, there was
chromosomes.
There's an interesting story that also came up the other day, which I thought you might want to know about, and this perhaps relates to what we're talking about now. But, you know, people, these stories come up from time to time, and it does make people a little bit unhappy and uncomfortable, but it's worth discussing. Apparently some guy, who's now identifies as a woman is now in the weightlifting, competition against women. And he's just beaten them all.
Okay.
It doesn't sound fair, right?
Yeah.
Because it isn't.
I think this is also quite an important part of what the doctor was saying, is that even though Costa has an advantage, she's still not better than the best XX or XX female. Yeah.
When I'm at the start of the race, when I'm lining up and getting into my blocks, everyone already knows the outcome. Those two athletes are going to come 1 and 2, and everyone knows it.
The Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference, the CIAC, says that athletes can choose to compete for the sport in which they gender identify with.
No one thinks it's fair, because we all know that males are physically stronger than females, and they compete at a higher level.
Petitions are circulating in Plainville and Glastonbury after two trans girls swept the competition at the state track and field championships.
From third on, it's a little different. We're actually fighting for those spots. But in those meets, there's no way that one of us biological girls will be able to outrun those transgender athletes.
Isn't that interesting? Hmm. That's stuff that's actually going on in college in America at the moment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fascinating. Don't say we haven't done our bit to talk about it and uncover as many of these misconceptions as possible. For someone who hosts a segment on your show about good news, Sia is quite judgmental, someone says.
What does being positive and observing something and giving a comment on it?
Look how he's manipulated that into what he wanted it
the
to be.
The two don't have to coexist.
Wow, Sia, very
judgmental. I'm a very optimistic person, but I also call a thing a thing. Mm. Don't pee on my head and tell me it's raining. I think that's a Judge Judy line, actually.
Is that what she says?
She said that in court.
Oh, I love that woman so much.
Don't piss on
my head.
Do
you know how rich Judge Judy is?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Do you know how much they pay that woman?
And she's on like season 243 of her show. She still does the same old, same old thing.
She does. She cleans up that judge.
She.
Tell you what.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah, her primary residence is in the East Coast of the US with her husband and family. And she films the show in LA. So she splits the time her week between both coasts. And then she loves, cause she loves yachts and stuff. So she also has a place in Florida.
I can't imagine her on a yacht.
Judge Judy.
Oh my gosh. No. Google Judge Judy in a bikini. Now this is not me being judgmental. This is me appreciating. Oh, she's fabulous.
Oh, really? Now yes. We all have to see.
Well, with all that money, she obviously is able to look after herself.
Judge Judy in a bikini. Oh. Who would have guessed?
The same way Camilla Bowles Parker eating.
Parker Bowles.
Parker Bowles eating.
I see pigs in the sea.
Leanne?
That came up.
Oh.
That actually came up.
Judge Judy, wow.
She's a grandmother of 12.
Hmm. See, there we go. And who would have known?
70-plus years old.
All right, this just came in. Let's go to the voice notes and calls for this morning.
Hi, guys. This whole thing on Costa Semenya having an advantage over her competitors because, you know, she's got male chromosomes or male whatever. It's biologically she's got this advantage. But the same could be said about someone like Usain Bolt. Biologically, you know, and physically, he is built for being a runner, you know, and a good athlete. I'm not. So what should I do now? Should I penalize when I go run against him? He should be penalized and start 5 seconds behind me because I'm not built like him or I'm, it's just a bunch of nonsense. I wish politics will keep their noses out of sport. Then, maybe everything would go back to normal. It's jealousy. That's what it is. And a bunch of shit.
Well, you can't run.
I think that's so true, though. What a good point. That
you can't run as fast as Usain Bolt.
Just because you're a male and have male chromosomes doesn't mean that you're going to be able to run fast.
No.
You need a whole lot of other biological incidents and stuff to go your way.
Here's what it boils down to, right? There's no such thing as equality. You can have equal opportunity. Everyone's allowed to run the race, but you're not going to beat Costa and you're not going to beat Usain Bolt. Neither am I.
Yeah.
We're not all equal. So give up this ridiculous, utopian and unrealistic idea of equality, especially when it comes to equality of outcome. It's never going to happen.
Equality of outcome.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
No, we're not all going to get the same result. If you and Leanne and I run in a race, the chances are some of us will be faster and some of us will be slower by quite a large margin. There's no equality of outcome.
But
if we all do an IQ test, we'll all come up with different numbers. If we all try ourselves at playing video games, there'll be different outcomes. If we all do a maths quiz, there'll be different outcomes.
If we gambled, went to a casino and gambled.
Well, that's got nothing to do with ability. It's just luck. But the fact is, there is no such thing as equality of outcome. So give it up. It's just unnecessary to, why perplex yourself and ruin your life by getting uptight about stuff like that? Give everyone the opportunity to do whatever they want. And if they're good at it and they excel, awesome. If they're no good at it and they don't excel and they still want to do it, that's fine. But they've got to realize they're doing it for fun. Because their result's not going to make them a winner. Hey, bring Sleazy in here. I want to meet this guy. He's interning with us.
Mm.
Get in here, dude. Get in here. Come and sit down. His name is Sleazy. You ever imagine the day where I would have someone come and intern for us with the name Sleazy?
And it's S-L-E-A-Z-I.
Right. How are you, dude?
Good, and you?
What a shit name, though. I asked you about this the other day. I met him at the Dome. We were at that My Future 4.0, and he came up and he was talking to me. I said, what's your name? He goes, Sleazy. So I went, ugh. It comes from your mom?
No.
Your brother?
Sleazy comes from my brother.
Yeah, I thought so.
From grade 4 when I started dancing.
Yeah.
And flexible and all.
And is that where it was all about the way you danced?
It was all about the way I danced.
So what do you do? Tell us about you.
Okay. Personally, I do PR, which is public relations. I dance. I'm an artist.
You do a lot of things.
I present, brand influencer, basically everything entertaining.
And are you studying at the moment or what are you doing?
I'm studying at Boston Media House. I'm doing my final year of PR.
All right. You learning anything there?
Yeah, a lot of things, actually, because I'm also doing radio, and look where I am now. Oh. So
yes, let's not count our chickens. I mean, Sia and Leanne and I have been here for a long time. Nothing good's happened. Nothing good's happened to us yet. All right.
But I'm running for the finish line.
So what do you want to do? I mean, like, where do you want to end up?
Personally, you know how everyone wants to be famous. I just want to end up doing PR, what I love best, whether it's radio presenting and talking about the media and creating events. Mm-hmm. Personally, that's my interest. I feel like I want to not only grow my brand as Sleazy, but also grow my name, you know, to be out there with everyone else so that I can give other jobs to other people. Because I see other brand influencers who are struggling in the same way that I had to struggle to get to where I am now.
All right. All right. You want to quiz him on anything, Deanne? See ya. Want to ask him anything? What are you doing back there? You're sitting at that table looking at us through the window. What are you doing?
No, I take notes.
Oh, you've been taking notes.
Give us some of your notes. Tell us what your notes have, what kind of notes you have.
Okay, personally, you're going to laugh at the notes, but One He's of the notes is like, clearly Ben is never here. So I finally got that part.
Okay, very good. You're very observant.
I'm very observant. Ben is never here. All right, so, there's always the Game of Thrones talks, but that was yesterday and subscribers. People's thoughts are very important in the Twitter feeds, which I like to hear because I always go back and retweet. And then today was basically about Bitcoin and how everyone is graduating from overseas and Ben is not here again.
So you were taking notes. Yeah. This is good.
I always do.
All right. Here are a couple of messages that have come through. I do want to get to these. So someone says, I was born with an adrenal deficiency. Basically, my body produces more testosterone than normal. It's been hell for me trying to be normal. It's the furthest thing away from a life advantage for a woman. So there's somebody who's not enjoying the fact that she gets too much testosterone output.
Oh.
Ash says, intrinsically, sport is about celebrating the exceptional people. They have an edge on us normal people. And even among the exceptional ones, there are those that are even better. Whether they got that because they got lucky chromosomes or because they've got better lactic acid or whatever, like Phelps, maybe that's just how sport works. But we can't manipulate the system by having men compete with women or chemically enhance people.
Hmm.
So Ash being the most
sensible. So many aspects.
Bit.
Lung capacity.
Yeah. Ash should be our Minister of Sport.
Metabolism.
She totally gets it. All right.
And what's interesting is as a woman, you do need testosterone in your system. And if you have too little testosterone, it affects your emotions incredibly.
And your voice.
I had a lack of testosterone and, the best way that I was told at the time, I don't know if it's still, if anything's changed, but it's to apply a testosterone cream under your feet. That's where it's most, best absorbed.
Did you get ball hairs under your feet?
Yeah, I've got testicles between my toes.
Just make putting shoes on very uncomfortable. All right, then somebody else says, Leighton in Cape Town says, equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. That's what people need to aim for instead of thinking they deserve everything that they want. Mm. Good point, well put. We're going to end it on that. Mm. Thank you for joining us this morning. We will see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Right. It's not a public holiday tomorrow.
No. Just by the way, we put out a poll on our Twitter account saying, do you think the virgin act of masturbator deserves to face criminal charges for this one act? 70% of people said yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. People want jail time for a masturbator. Wow, that is just unbelievable. We do live in such a draconian society.
There are other mass debaters who should be in jail.
Leanne, goodbye.
Thank you very much. Good point.
This is CliffCentral.com.